for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, November the 27th, 2015. Callie Ritchie is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on the spirit of jealousy.
Callie?
Good afternoon. I'm going to start off with a prayer, and we'll go from there. Yahweh, my Father in heaven, thank you for being our Abba Daddy. You are holy, pure, just, righteous, and awesome. You are El Shaddai. You are Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior and our Deliverer. Amen. You, Jesus, are Lord of all. I confess that we have all sinned, but as born-again sons and daughters, we have been given the righteousness of God in you, Christ Jesus. Your name is the name above all names. In your name and under your authority, I bind the strong man over myself and everyone here. I bind mind-blinding and heart-blinding spirits in Jesus' name. I bind deaf and dumb spirits in Jesus' name. I ask you, Father, to send your warring angels into the heavenlies and bind and cut off Apollo, Baal, Asherah, Jezebel, and her daughters, goddesses, and all fallen angels who would oppose this work. I repent for any pride amongst us and ask that you cut off Leviathan and all sons of pride. I ask this in Jesus' name. I bind all light spirits here in this atmosphere, as well as all witchcraft, sorcery, hexes, vexes, charms, and all ritual performed against this work in Jesus' name. I break the power of all visualization and every soulish prayer released against anyone here today and their families and all that pertains to them. I ask you to bless anyone who has committed those sins against God's people with godly sorrow that leads to repentance in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the anointing that destroys yokes, and thank you, Jesus, that you became manifest here on earth to destroy the works of the devil. I bind and forbid all false coverings and apply the blood of Jesus to every person here, especially to any wounds that are yet to be healed. Let Yahweh arise and the enemy be scattered as civil war is loosed in the demonic camp. Lord, I surrender this ministry to you and invite you, Lord Jesus, to get yourself some glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, my name, is Callie Ritchie, and my husband and I love coming here. It's like a family reunion when we come here. We're honored to be a part of this ministry and a part of Deliverance Ministry. It's
happy to have you.
Thank you. The spirit that I'm going to be teaching on is called the spirit of jealousy. Now, this spirit, I was ate up with the spirit, and it brought an unbearable feeling of hopelessness to me. I really thought it was part of my personality, and that I would never be any different. And then I learned when I got into Deliverance that it was a spirit, and that I didn't have to live that way. It caused me many times to try to take my own life because it had control of me. It was unbearable. It was cruel. And other scripture says that jealousy is cruel as the grave. And it is. It is cruel. And it caused me to be cruel to other people, but it was also cruel to me. The spirit itself was cruel to me. And I was in bondage to it. The spirit of jealousy. Numbers 5:14. And the spirit of jealousy came upon him, and he was jealous of his wife, and she was defiled. spirit of jealousy came upon him, and he was jealous of his wife, and she was not defiled. Jealousy is awakened by whatever may exalt others or give them pleasures and advantages which we desire for ourselves. Jealousy is nearly allied to envy, for jealousy, before a good is lost by ourself, is converted into envy after it is obtained by others. Jealousy is the apprehension of superiority. That's in Webster's Dictionary. Suspicious fear or apprehension. Jealousy is an emotion and typically refers to the negative thoughts and feelings of insecurity, fear, and anxiety over an anticipated loss of something that the person values, particularly in reference to a human connection. An unhappy or angry feeling of wanting to have what someone else has. An unhappy or angry feeling caused by the belief that someone you love, such as your husband or your wife, likes or is liked by someone else. Some synonyms are grudge, resentment, covetousness, enviousness, spite, backbiting, begrudging, evil eye, betrayal, grudginess, envy, spiteful, cruelty, gossip, slander, betrayal, critical nature, judgmental, suspicious, jaundiced eye, unchristlike competition. Jealousy often consists of a combination of presenting emotions such as anger, resentment, inadequacy, helplessness, and disgust. That's out of Wikipedia. The definition of envy: painful or resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, joined with a desire to possess the same advantage. That's out of Webster's. Envy is a resentment which occurs when someone lacks another's quality, achievement, or possession and wishes that the other lacked it. It's in Wikipedia. Jealousy is the result of fear of losing someone or something that one is attached to or possesses to another person, the transfer of a lover's affection in the typical form. The origin, the first fall. In Isaiah 14:12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Ezekiel 28:12. "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emeralds, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. This most beautiful creature is a created being, became envious of God's position. Jealousy and envy so consumed him that in his pride he deceived himself to believe that he could defeat Yahweh. The origin is the fall and the flesh. In Genesis 3:4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." The enemy, who was jealous of God, used the same characteristic to make Eve jealous for something which God said that she could not have. The knowledge of good and evil was not meant for man. Galatians 5:21, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In Romans 1:29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. I'm going to give you some biblical examples. Cain slayed Abel. Cain was jealous into murder when his offering was rejected by God and Abel was accepted in Genesis chapter 4. Sarah and Hagar. Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to have a son, with, and jealousy grew between them over their children, causing Sarah to have Abraham drive her out. That's in Genesis chapter 16 and 21. Jacob and Esau. Jacob stole Esau's birthright and blessing, causing Esau to be jealous and want to kill him. That's in Genesis chapter 25. Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers. Jacob, the father, favored Joseph over all his sons, causing them to despise and be jealous over Joseph and throw him in a pit and abandon him. That's in Genesis chapter 37. The rebellion of Korah towards Moses. In Numbers chapter 16, some leaders jealously rebelled against Moses, bringing disaster to many. Miriam towards Moses. Moses' sister Miriam began to criticize Moses because of a woman that he married. She also questioned why Moses' authority, saying, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us?" Because of this, God struck her with leprosy, and she would have been permanently removed from Israel if Moses had not interceded for her. Korah, one of the richest leaders of the Levites and a cousin of Moses and Aaron, felt that he had been slighted and overlooked in the distribution of the highest priestly honors and leadership. He envied Moses and Aaron and also his cousin Elzaphan, who had been put in charge of the Levites after Aaron's family had become elevated to the rank of Kohanim priest. Realizing that despite his riches and influence, he alone could do very little to shake the people's faith and confidence in Moses and Aaron, Korah looked for associates in his campaign against them. Korah went to the people of the tribe of Reuben, his neighbors in the camping order. Being daily in close contact with them, Korah easily swayed the opinions of their leaders and drew them into his conspiracy. Amongst the Reubenites were two men, Dathan and Abiram, who since their early days in Egypt had been troublemakers and the ringleaders of disaffection and rebellion. They were the first to rally to the party of Korah, and they were his most eager agents among the tribesmen. Their experience and clever campaigning, aided by Korah's riches, influence, and knowledge, induced as many as 250 respected leaders of the Jewish camp to join in the rebellion. They now felt bold enough to go outside into the open and speak up against Moses' leadership of the people. Adopting the mantle of piety and justice and pretending to be a champion of his people, Korah accused Moses and Aaron of imposing their leadership upon the community. "You take too much upon yourselves," for the entire congregation, "are all holy, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you raise yourself above the Lord's assembly? Said Korah in Numbers 16:3, and his men to Moses and Aaron. Moses admonishes the rebels. When Moses heard of the public accusations made against him by members of the tribe of Levi and their associates, he prayed to God for guidance in his new tribulation. Then he addressed himself to Korah and his party and told them to prepare themselves for the next day when God would show whom he considered worthy to serve him as priest. All the contestants were to take censers and offer incense before God. God would then show whether he approved of this act. Moses spoke to Korah privately and warned him against his lust for personal honor. It is not enough that the God of Israel has distinguished you from the congregation of Israel to draw you near to him, to perform the service in the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? That was Numbers 16:9. But his words fell on deaf ears. Dathan and Abiram's spite. After his unsuccessful talk with Korah, Moses sent for Dathan and Abiram, ringleaders of the rebellion among the non-Levites. However, they replied with their usual arrogance. And this is Numbers 16:12 through 13. We will not go up. It is not enough that you have brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert, that you should also exercise authority over us. Moses was deeply hurt by this venomous attack upon his leadership, and he prayed to God to expose the wickedness of these people before the entire congregation of Israel. The next morning, Korah's associates appeared before the tabernacle with censers, as Moses had told them to do. With them came the entire community whom Korah had called to witness the proceedings. Then God told Moses to order the children of Israel to separate themselves from Korah and his associates and everything that belonged to them, for fear that they share the rebels' fate. Again, Moses and the elders approached Dathan and Abiram in a last-minute effort to induce them to repent of their sin. However, it was in vain, and Moses ordered the rest of the people to depart from the tents of Dathan and Abiram. The people obeyed. Dathan and Abiram and their families stood in front of their tents and in a defiant mood continued to abuse Moses. Gravely, Moses told the children of Israel in Numbers 16:28, "With this you shall know that the Lord sent me to do all these deeds, for I did not devise them myself. If these men die, as all men die, and the fate of all men will be visited upon them, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a creation, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them all, and all that is theirs, and they descend alive into the grave, you will know that these men have provoked the Lord." Hardly had Moses finished speaking when the earth cleft asunder and swallowed Korah and his associates with their families and belongings. They were buried alive and perished by a terrible death that made the people who stood nearby flee in terror. The next instant, a fire from heaven devoured the 250 men who had dared to contest Aaron's priestly authority by offering incense. After seeing God's judgment, look at the continued rebellion among the people and this amazing finish to this story. The budding staff. The following day, some of the children of Israel complained that Moses and Aaron had caused the death of so many leading men, whereupon God sent a plague which killed many thousands more of the rebels. The authority of Aaron as high priest was to be openly proved, so that his supremacy might forever be assured and recognized. Each tribe was commanded to bring one rod inscribed with its name. That of the tribe of Levi was to bear the name of Aaron. The rods were given to Moses, who took them into the tabernacle. The tribe whose rod would blossom and bud was to be considered an especially elected and favored by God. Moses did as God had ordered him. The next morning, the priest entered the sanctuary and saw that Aaron's staff had budded and blossomed and yielded ripe almonds. Moses carried the rods out to the children of Israel, and each of the tribes took its rod. Everyone was now convinced of Aaron's right to the priesthood. The Old Testament lives stand as an example for us today. To listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Many of us would have rebelled, been defiant, and fell into the pit with Korah had we been born on the side of the cross, that side of the cross. Notice how God used Moses to try to get these people to repent. Notice the character of Moses as an intercessor. Notice that God did judge the people when he was forced to by their stubbornness. Today's tor pit could be anger, depression, or fear. It could be broken relationships. The destroyer still comes and destroys. Destroys relationships, careers, finances, health, and some even die. We have to repent. In Matthew 27, verse 18, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. In Mark 15:10, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Acts 13:45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Exodus 20:17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. In 1 Corinthians 3:3-5, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. Ephesians 5:3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Romans 13:13. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. James 3:14-15. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Let's take the story of Saul and David, which is a look at how jealousy affects the victim. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. In everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And that's 1 Samuel 18:8-14. To be jealous of someone is to be intolerant and hostile toward a person who is perceived to be a threat or a rival to one's position or authority. A jealous spirit stems from feelings of over-possessiveness and holding too high an opinion of oneself. The jealous person feels like no one else can or should be able to do what they do. The jealous person feels that no one else has the right to do what they can do. Instead of admiring the capabilities, competence, excellence, or talents of another, the jealous person views these qualities as a challenge to who they are. A jealous spirit reveals the flaws in one's characters. It's an admission of one's feelings of inadequacy. It's a way of defending ourselves against the reality that someone may be better at something than we are. When we behave jealously toward another's accomplishment, we're actually showing our inability to deal with the truth. No one likes to think of himself as not measuring up to another. But a reality of life is that there will always be someone who is better at something than we are. But rather than accept that reality, the one who is controlled by a spirit of jealousy will feed his feelings of inadequacy through displays of anger and resentment toward what another has achieved. A third thing about jealousy is that jealousy is often the result of our frustration at wasted opportunities. People who have wasted their opportunities often can't accept the fact that another won't make the same mistake, and the jealous person will do all that he can to deny the other fellow an opportunity to succeed where he has failed. It's that kind of attitude that gives birth to stumbling blocks. You may have tried something. You may have tried to do something positive. You may have labored long and hard to bring something to fruition, and for whatever reason, you didn't achieve your goal. Perhaps it had to do with your job. Maybe you set certain career goals for yourself, but you wasted your opportunities and fell short of your goal. And now you've made up your mind that if you can't succeed, then no one will succeed. And you're doing all that you can to mess up the program. Maybe it has something to do with your personal life. Maybe you came from a negative family situation. Perhaps you weren't given the same opportunity to achieve that others had because you looked a certain way, or because you came from a certain part of town. Maybe your hair was of a different texture from someone else's. And it's bad that that kind of thing happens to anybody, but now you're so filled with bitterness and frustration. This brings us to a fourth point about jealousy. Jealousy almost always reveals itself in a destructive manner. It can start off with negative talk and little dirty dealings, but if it goes on unchecked, jealousy can lead to a terrible tragedy. Jealousy caused Cain to kill his brother. Jealousy caused Lot to turn his back on his uncle Abraham. Jealousy caused Joseph's brother to sell him into slavery. And just like jealousy destroyed in the days of old, jealousy is destroying a lot of us right now. Some husbands and wives are at each other's throats today over jealousy. Some brother and sister can't stand to be in each other's presence because of jealousy. somebody's in the hospital, or worse yet, in the cemetery because of somebody else's jealousy. But even more than the destructive nature of jealousy, you need to know today that jealousy cuts you off from God. You see, the jealous man or woman sees his life as being in his hands. They see their success or failure as ultimately being up to them. But when you have the right outlook on life, then you know that you don't need to be jealous of anybody because God is in charge. And if God is in charge, then no one can take from you what God has given you. If God is in charge, then I'm not to be concerned with what God has blessed someone else with. But I'm focusing all my energy on doing the best that I can with what God has given me. But when we take our minds off of that and worry about what someone else has, we're leaving God completely out of the situation. And whenever we leave God out, we're headed for trouble. When we take our minds off of us using what God has given us and get concerned about what God has given someone else, what we're really doing is discounting the value of God's gift to us. If you have a jealous spirit today, you need to repent and work to put your jealousy in check. For jealousy is destructive and cuts you off from God's blessing. If you are a victim of jealousy, then observe how David, who was a man after God's own heart, handled it. The man caught up in jealousy is King Saul, and the man being victimized by jealousy is God's servant David. As we set the scene, it's important to note that while Saul was jealous of David, the truth is that Saul had brought his troubles on himself. Saul had been blessed by God to become king of Israel, and God had endowed Saul with certain talents and abilities. The Bible describes him as a choice young man, humble and filled with self-control. But along the way, Saul got full of himself, and he began to think that he was more than he was. Twice Saul disobeyed God and did what he wanted to do. And as a result, God told Saul, through Samuel, that his kingdom would not last, and that another would reign in his place. The Bible says that God took his spirit from Saul, and that as a result of the absence of the Spirit of God, an evil spirit consumed him. And this evil spirit caused Saul to be filled with jealousy towards David. Now Saul first became aware of David one hot afternoon in the Elah Valley when the young shepherd boy decided to uphold the honor of the Lord and face the Philistine warrior, Goliath, in combat. No man in Israel's army, including Saul, was willing to face Goliath but David, without sword or shield, without armor or helmet, in the power of the Lord, was able to bring Goliath down. That day, Saul was very pleased with David, and he took him into his own house and made him as one of his own sons. But as David continued to labor faithfully in Saul's service, the Bible says that two things happened. The first thing that happened was that David's popularity with the people grew. The 18th chapter of 1 Samuel tells how as David was returning home one day from a successful mission for the king, the crowds began to call his name and sing his praises. As David passed by, the women sang to one another, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." The second thing that happened was when Saul heard their singing, his countenance towards David changed, and the Bible says that from that day forward, Saul tried to destroy David. Now understand that David had done no evil to Saul. And in fact, the singing of these women was not disrespectful to Saul. They were simply giving David credit for his accomplishments. But Saul saw the same action, saw this action as them exalting David over him, and their singing made him angry and paranoid. Hear him as he asked himself, "If they ascribe to David 10,000 and to me just thousands, then what else could David be after than to take my kingdom from me? It wasn't long after that that Saul tried to take David's life. Twice he hurled spears at David's head and sent men to David's house to kill him. And a little while later, he began to hunt David down to destroy him. Saul was so jealous of David that he forgot about everything else. He used his children, he neglected his kingdom, and he eventually lost his mind behind his jealousy of David. But note that, through it all, David was all right. David was able to overcome, and if you want to now, the Bible gives us the reasons in the 14th verse. First of all, David was able to overcome jealousy because David showed wisdom and strong discipline. The scripture says that in all things, David behaved himself wisely. You don't have to answer every unkind thing that's said about you. And you don't have to respond to every mean thing that is done to you. Quite often, the wisest thing that you can do is just keep on keeping on. David knew that he had done nothing. He had done nothing to Saul. In fact, David had done all that he could do to be the most loyal servant that he could to Saul. But even when Saul turned against him, even when Saul tried his best to destroy him, David made up his mind that he was going to do the right thing. There's something to be said for wise behavior. Wisdom has its rewards, not just in eternity, but in the here and now. When you show wisdom and discipline, then even folks that don't like you, they have to respect you. David didn't set out to win anyone's favor, but the more wisdom and discipline he showed, the more he just tried to do the right thing, the more the people fell in love with him. And then the most important thing to help David overcome Saul's jealousy was that the Lord was with David. If you read the scripture, you will see that Saul realized he was not only fighting David, but he was fighting God. Saul knew that God had laid his hands on David and that to fight David was indeed to fight God. But Saul continued to try to destroy David anyhow. But through it all, God kept David safe. And in his own time, God gave David the victory. Psalm 37:1-6, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Another thing to be learned from the lesson of David and Saul is that to be the jealous person, there does not have to be a real threat, merely a perceived threat. The feelings, emotions, and demonically laced reactions are the same. Jealousy and envy also make life hell on earth for others. Wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy or jealousy? Proverbs 27:4. Jealousy invariably hurts people around us, especially those we say we love. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Jealousy is a major function of self-righteousness and arrogance. Therefore, it is a major factor in Christian backsliding and degeneracy. Jealousy causes a Christian to develop a system of legalism or false spirituality, to set himself up as a role model for what Christianity should be, then try to get others to accept their model of false self-identity. While jealousy is part of the pride complex of sins, it generates its own suit of sinful reactions, including bitterness, vindictiveness, incomplacency, ambition, competition, verbal sins, and revenge tactics. Jealousy is a system of self-justification. You cannot solve your problems when you are trying to justify yourself. Jealousy is a discontent with the blessing of successes or other people. Jealousy is a discontent with the blessings of successes of other people, a resentment of other people for what they have received. Therefore, it is total selfishness and it is incapable of love. Love and jealousy are mutually exclusive. Jealousy is tyranny in that it comes from an attitude of possessiveness of another person and therefore stifles the other person's volition. Jealousy destroys freedom because it intrudes upon privacy. Tear down the lie with the truth of God's word. With God, there is unlimited good. God has unlimited supply of goodness for everything on earth. The negative consequences of jealousy. Jealousy causes hopelessness and depression. Jealousy makes you mean and cruel. Song of Solomon's 8:6. Jealousy is more detrimental than wrath or anger. Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? When you walk in jealousy, you have limited power. Unwise comparisons open the door to envy and jealousy. 2 Corinthians 10:12. People who compare themselves with others are without understanding. To compare is to belittle what God has done in your life. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Jealous people are unspiritual and walk in the flesh. Walking in the flesh is a way of thinking that opposes the word of God. 1 Corinthians 3:3. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? There is no profit into walking in the flesh. God has not called you to walk as mere men. Jealousy makes you bitter. And where jealousy exists, there is disorder and the potential for every evil work. In James 3:14, the spirit of jealousy will lead you down a path that could ultimately destroy your life. Jealousy brings confusion. Wherefore there is envy, wherever there is envy, there is disorder and every evil work. James 3:16. Wrong thinking, unbelief, and ungratefulness lead to feeling as though your needs will not be met. Doubting your self-worth. Remember, Jesus set our value at the cross. And whether you have what it takes to succeed in life, this is a lie. I'm going to start that over. Doubting your self-worth and whether you have what it takes to succeed in life, this is a lie because we live by His grace and His strength, feeling powerless and insecurity. Some common characteristics of jealousy. In some cases, if a friend or spouse is talking with someone else, a jealous person may get quiet or have a mood change. This might be an attempt to hide jealousy. That was me. If that person seems to get angry but will not say why, this can also be an indication of jealousy. Sometimes a jealous person will have a need to call or see a partner often and will get upset when they cannot be reached. If a person gets unreasonably upset when there is not enough contact or always wants to know his partner's whereabouts, it could be an indication of jealousy and insecurity. Often, a jealous person will tear someone down or try to make them feel insecure. For example, if you share good news with a jealous person, She might counter it with a negative remark, as opposed to being happy for you. If another person compliments you or finds you attractive, a jealous person will most likely get upset or angry if she perceives it as a threat. Jealousy is always about fear of being displaced. Leadership who fear losing control, it also can come in the following ways within the church. Someone else being chosen to finish what you labored to see done. Someone receiving revelation elsewhere after years of sitting under a certain ministry. Comparison of self to someone else's ability and perceiving others thinking you less. How to defeat jealousy. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and it's kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Philippians 4:11, now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Philippians 4:12, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. We're just going to give a little bit of our testimony. As like I said earlier, I suffered and was bound up by the spirit of jealousy. And it started, I believe it started in the womb for me. It was generational. My father was extremely jealous of my mother to the point where she couldn't leave the house. She had to quit driving. She couldn't go anywhere, so she was a prisoner of her home. And when I turned 18, she had to go to work because my dad, they got Social Security until I was 18. And then when I turned 18, that stopped, so they didn't have the income that they needed. So she had to go to work. And for the first time in all those years, she had fellowship with other women. And my dad was so extremely jealous. That spirit of jealousy was lying to him. And he believed she was having affairs with these women at work. And it's just the lie that jealousy speaks. And so I grew up jealous. And my dad, he also had a perversion. He had an addiction to pornography. So in order to have relations with my mom, he would be looking at pornography. And this was going on while I was being conceived. So I believe that even that came through the DNA, the jealousy, the not being enough, the insecurity, the memory. I believe the cellular memory from them just was downloaded into me so that when I became old enough, well, I was jealous even before then, but when I started having boyfriends and I've had multiple husbands, every one of my husbands were cheating on me in their mind. Because my dad, I knew, and I shouldn't have known what my dad was doing, but he was looking at this. So in my mind, I believed that every one of my husbands were doing the same thing, and that I was not enough. And so a woman could walk into the room, and I was immediately, that spirit would manifest, and I would be angry for no reason. He didn't even have to see the woman, but I would become angry. And so that was perceived. And it tormented me. I used to think and I used to want to be on an island somewhere where there was no women, just me and whoever I was with, who I was married to. And I thought that was going to solve it. And it drove me to try to end my life. I thought, if I have to live this way for the rest of my life, I would rather not live. So that spirit was, it was a murderous spirit. It was trying to kill me and all my relationships. And then I met my husband, who was at first just my mentor. He was teaching me the Word of God. I was in a pit. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol, and that different spirits had just driven me into a pit. And the Lord sent him. I had no one left, and the Lord sent him and to pray for me. And he started teaching me the Word and who I am, my identity, and taught me about these different spirits. And so was able to go through deliverance and realize that this was a spirit. But even before that, we got married, and all of a sudden this godly man who had a covenant with Silas was cheating on me in my mind. He was looking at other women. He was doing all those same things. And I'm like, there's a pattern here. You know, it's not all the people. So we were at war.
I always tell people that our first 3 years of marriage were World War III or bliss, and no neutral ground. And so we were either walking in the heaven of the Lord or hell on earth at times. And I had a little jump on my sister wife, and in deliverance. And listen, we've done extensive deliverance before we ever got married.
Yeah.
But you know what we talked about this morning about that heart?
Yeah.
See, and back then we knew to break curses. We were learning to cast out demons and all of those things. But we didn't have full understanding of getting healed as well. Okay, because it's an incomplete work just to cast out the demons and not be healed. Mm-hmm. And even after that, you have to dominate the demon. Mm-hmm. You have to dominate them by crucifying your flesh. I'll tell you, when we watched, she talked about the perception. We'd walk in a Walmart, and if there was a half naked woman in the county, she was coming down our aisle. And I guarantee you, she was coming down our aisle. And I turned my head and walked right, but it didn't matter. As soon as I turned back, the atmosphere was polluted. Because the enemy's mean.
Amen.
He's cruel. That's what he does. So he can set up those encounters. He can set up an encounter of a word that was spoken that would leave a perception that was not real. And he does this thing, you know, the jealous root has a rejection root stuck with it as well. They're married. But let me tell you, those first 3 years, the reason it was World War III, because I had wounds. She had her wounds, I had mine. And in those earliest, and what would happen, listen, jealousy and anger run together. And so when the jealousy would jump on her, the anger would jump on me. Because I was being falsely accused. You get that?
Yeah.
And so then, now listen, when you're healed, you don't have to defend yourself. But when you're not healed, you're going to defend yourself. Now, David walked wisely. That's what she just got through reading. He walked in wisdom. And like you said, the best way to handle things, sometimes just keep on keeping on, don't even respond. But what happened at the point in our relationship and with me and the Lord is I told the Lord, I said, listen, it doesn't matter what she says. It doesn't matter. This is about me. So listen, if you've been victimized by this spirit, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I got tired of the devil starting to fight with us. Mm-hmm. You know, the devil's in me, the devil's in her, engaging, and then sitting back watching and laughing at us while we tore each other apart. And then I went to the Lord and I said, I need you to help me. And he did. And what he did was help me not to respond and to pull back. And I'm the husband. That means I'm the head. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something. And it does matter. And so as the Lord began to deliver me of my responding to her, then she started getting delivered. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord healed us. And we don't... we go in places and ministries now, and then I minister. There's hundreds of women around us. And she's not bothered at all. Because we've been healed. Okay? We've been healed. Not only delivered, but the Lord has healed. And He's just a good God. So I want to encourage you. Now we're going to go into a time of prayer and deliverance. But I want everybody, even before we go, I'm going to just pray right now. And I bind the enemy. I want to share one other thing too. I'm going to tell you how this thing could work too. We went to a church at one time, and that church had multiple campuses, and they had a spirit of competition. I thought jealousy and competition. No, that church had a spirit of competition in it. Even at a point is where they were getting a point system that you could gain for how many people you witnessed to. You got so many points for, you know, somebody coming to church, somebody doing this. And I want you to know that's not of the Lord. Okay? But I'm in this church, and there was a particular man, and I haven't been by nature one that operated in the jealousy. It just, you know, that was one I escaped. I had 1,000 other But we're in the church, and there was a particular man in there, and honestly, just to be truthful, he was operating as a false prophet. He would teach the Word of God in error. Okay? And I found myself, you know, a couple times we're in there and started feeling the spirit of jealousy over the man. You know, I've never been one to care whether I was in the front or the back. I don't care. I can be up here ministering. I can sit in the back. I can do battle for the saints or whatever. Receive myself. It doesn't matter to me. Like I said, I escaped that one. But I started finding that. Then I'm saying, Lord, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? And I realized. And He showed me. Because the leadership in that church was allowing the competition. Okay? So whatever the leadership in a given body does, the body's going to be affected. So that spirit was allowed, and it was working on me. And as soon as I realized it, I broke soul ties with everybody that was in the leadership there, in that area. Okay? And I broke the power of that spirit of competition, and it went away. So we got to get to a point, and even being here, I want to encourage the saints, just keep it working. Keep letting God be God. Walk in the grace of God. If you be obedient, you'll get revelation. Now, 5 years before, I might not have gotten the revelation of what that was. And maybe that spirit would have got something on and continued. But we can learn and walk in the grace and the love of God and walk in the deliverance that we're called to. So I just want to encourage anybody here, if you've got somebody jealous over you, respond like David did. Go to the Lord. Get yourself healed by Him. That way you don't have to respond. And if you're operating in it, let Him be daddy. Let God be daddy. When He's your daddy, you don't have to be concerned about anything you do or don't have. Because He's more than enough. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want y'all to repeat after me. Yahweh, my Father in heaven.
Yahweh, my Father in heaven.
I repent for myself and my ancestors. For operating in unholy jealousy. I renounce unholy jealousy and break the curse of jealousy off of me and my bloodline. I forgive those that have controlled or hurt me through jealousy. I break unholy soul ties with them and send their souls back to them and call my soul back to me, covered in the blood of Jesus. I also break all demonic bridges between me and the people and command all generational spirits and spirits which transfer to leave in Jesus' name. I command all jealousy and all like attached spirits as well as all squatters to flee me now in Jesus' name. I lend my agreement to the minister calling them out. And know that two shall put 10,000 to flight in Jesus' name. I believe Jesus is my deliverer. and shall set me free. Indeed. So now I'm just going to call them out, and I want y'all to just breathe and come in agreement and will them out. In the name of Jesus, I command the spirit of jealousy, revenge, spite, anger, and rage to leave now in Jesus' name. Jealousy, go. Revenge, go. Spite, anger, rage, leave God's people now in Jesus' name. Murder, leave in Jesus' name. Strife, hatred, cruelty, go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Murder, go. Strife, hatred, cruelty, leave God's people in Jesus' name. Contention, cause division, extreme competition, leave in Jesus' name. Envy, go in Jesus' name. Grudge, you have to go. All grudge, resentfulness, resentment, leave in Jesus' name. Covetousness, enviness, enviousness, spite, leave God's people in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Spite, backbiting, begrudging, leave in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. Evil eye, you have to go. Evil eye, get out in Jesus' name. Green-eyed monster, you have to go. Get out of God's people. Grudginess, jaundiced eye, you have to leave in Jesus' name. Spiteful, cruelty, go in Jesus' name. Cruelty, leave God's people. Gossip, slander, and backbiting, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Get out of God's people. Backstabbing, betrayal, go in Jesus' name. Critical nature, come out. Get out in Jesus' name. Judgmental, leave in Jesus' name. Suspicious, go. Paranoia, violence, mean man, go in Jesus' name. Get out in Jesus' name. Cruel messenger, leave. Leave God's people in Jesus' name. Accusations, argumentative nature, come out of God's people. Belittling, bickering, bitterness, blasphemy, go in Jesus' name. I break your power, accusation, belittling, bickering, go in Jesus' name. Causing division, coarse jesting, go in Jesus' name. Contention, leave. Covetousness, criticism, go in Jesus' name. Get out of God's people. Cursing, deception, destruction, go now in Jesus' name. Discontent, disputes, and dissatisfactions, leave now in Jesus' name. I break your power in Jesus' name. Distrust, dreamer, enmity, go in Jesus' name. Greed, hardness of heart, go in Jesus' name. Hurt, inability to cry, I break your power over God's people in the name of Jesus, and I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Inability to cry, get out in Jesus' name. Insecurity, judging, kleptomania, go in Jesus' name. Lying, malice, materialism, go in Jesus' name. Mocking, get out in Jesus' name. Quarreling, railing, accusations, go in Jesus' name. Restlessness, retaliation, and sadism, go in Jesus' name. Self-centeredness and self-hatred, I break your power over God's people and command you to go in Jesus' name. Selfishness, spite, and stealing, come out in Jesus' name. Stealing, get out. Stealing time, get out in Jesus' name. Strife, go in Jesus' name. Suicide, go in Jesus' name. Murder, get out in Jesus' name. Death wish, go in Jesus' name. Suspicion, temper, unforgiveness, leave now in Jesus' name. Come out of God's people. I break your power. Unworthiness and torment, go in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. If you would raise your hand. Do you sense? Do you raise your hand?
Jesus' name. Every squatter now, come out in the name of Jesus. Every squatter, everybody whose legal right has been broken, come out of God's people in the name of Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus. If you're on lend agreement to my wife now in the name of Jesus, want to put 1,000 to flight and 2 10,000. So every squatter, your legal rights broken, you come out now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit ordained of the Lord Jesus Christ to come out this day, this moment, this hour, this minute, come out now in the name of Jesus. Up and out in the name of Jesus. All the stubborn ones, come out now in the name of Jesus. Those hidden works of darkness, come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Every curse under the curse, be broken in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. And I bind the backlash in the name of Jesus. Now, in Jesus' name, bid you to operate against God's people. Go, 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 go. All of you, come out now in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus, unholy spirit, come out now in the name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. You would raise your hands and receive a blessing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for blessing your people. Fill them with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Fill them with your perfect love that casts out all fear. Bless them with the ability to rest in you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving your people unspeakable joy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We found a picture a little while back, and my wife and I were sitting on one of these rows up here, and Carla sent it to us, and it was, and we didn't even remember. You know, I didn't remember the event, but I saw the event in the picture, and it was a fellow. Your daddy. Your daddy was one of them, and the other one was Carla's uncle, and Ernie.
Ernie.
Yeah. And they were praying for us. They were praying for us. And you know, in looking at that, I know that their prayer did something in our life. Okay? They were blessing us is what they're doing. We're sitting down there both behind us with their hands on our back praying and releasing something. And the Lord did something. But I want to tell you, the two most important people in your deliverance and your freedom, number one most important person is Jesus. The Holy Spirit, our God.
Yeah, that's right.
But number two, it's not even the ministers. Not us. It's not the folks at home that you pray. It's you.
That's right.
And I always tell people the ones that are willing to dig.
Come on.
Get the freest.
That's right.
That means that there's a digging that goes that, you know, everybody'd like a snap deliverance. Boom, done. All your problems are gone. That doesn't happen. God does some sovereign deliverance. Listen to me. God has mercy on who He has mercy on. One of the traps you can fall in is, well, God delivered this person immediately from this, but this one's struggling. Well, God's God. Praise God, He did it for this one. Alright? He wants to take us to a place to where we walk in freedom in greater and greater and greater and greater and greater measures until the day that we die or He comes and gets us. Whenever that time is. Okay? He's coming soon.
Amen.
But we're in the last day here. We're in the last of the last days. Every prophetic word says so. And yeah, even the prophetic word says in the last days they'll say they said that in my father's day. The mockers are outside the church. The scoffers are inside. You hear me? The day's at hand. If you didn't have just the prophetic words enough. But in the end fulfillment of the prophetic word, I want to tell you that Babel, God scrambled the language at Babel because man could do anything he wanted to do. And God scrambled the language for a purpose. It's because if we'd have left man alone, they had enough, and what they were doing and who they were fellowshipping with, the darkness would have brought enough technology on the earth to destroy it way back then. But God has a time frame, and it's an exact time frame, and He's about building a family. He's long-suffering that no man should perish. So we've been had this time frame, and each ensuing year and decade and century has brought more family. Yeah, there's a lot of people die and go to hell. There's more family. And even as this thing walks on through and we're going into the millennium, there's going to be more family. So you understand that. But the devil knows what the time is. And now man again can, every nation on this earth can talk to every nation on the earth. There is no language barrier. There is, the restrainers are coming off. They've broken the human genetic code, which means they can splice humans with animals, and they're doing it. You hear me? They're doing it. Creating creatures that aren't human. Now, how close are we to the return of the Lord? How much deception is there on the earth? It's great. And the only way that we're going to be able to walk without being deceived is to let God set us free. But it's going to take a choice of your will. Okay? So I want to go back to the digging. It either lines up with God or it doesn't. Amos 3:3 says, how do two walk together unless they be agreed? Okay? So you look at your life and you say, okay, Lord, what lines up? And then you go and you explore these books that are here. The resources here, the websites, the things that are here. I'm not here selling books. Okay? I'm here telling you to go after God. I'm here telling you to go find out. And what a teacher does, we've gotten up here and taught. A book that's a good book, here's the criteria. It takes the Word of God. It says this is what it said. This is what the lives looked like. This is what happened when we applied the Word. And here's the change. Okay? But if you'll dig, you'll learn. And then God will bring revelation to set your life free. And now let me tell you the second key. Be willing to learn to the point where you're willing, and then we walk in the anointing of God. None of us are ever done. Pray for others. Believe God. He'll release you at some point for direct intervention with people, but you can pray from the distance immediately. Learn what binding means. Learn what loosing means. If you're not binding the devil, if you're not loosing people from things, even with your mouth, then we're not doing what we're called to do, and you'll never be fulfilled and you'll never fully thrive. No matter what your position in life is. Because if you're born again, your position's a family of God, no matter what else you're doing. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. Be a digger. Be a digger. Hunt after God. Let Him breathe. Don't quit. Okay? If you can come back here, keep coming back. But utilize that website. Get information and test everything. Listen, the Holy Spirit, listen, let me tell you my prayer. This, I do this everywhere, every time. And so you go like this. So this way you don't have to be judgmental, criticism. You can be open to God without fear. Okay? Father God, Yahweh, in the name of Jesus, I receive everything from You that You want me to have. I deny nothing from You, the living God. But in the name of Jesus, I utterly deny any other spirit. Okay? Now, is that fair? Huh? Is that safe? Do you believe we can count on God to protect us? Now, I don't have to walk in fear anywhere. And now, I also know. And if you haven't ever done this, and here's the other thing. If you're here right now, I'm going to lead you in prayer. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Your word says that Your sheep hear Your voice. So in the name of Jesus, I believe I can hear Your voice. I believe You can speak to me. I believe You can speak to me in dreams and in visions. And I believe I'll know things by an unction of the Holy Ghost. I'm asking You, Lord, to reveal to me anything that hinders me from hearing You, Your communication to me, from seeing what You want to show me. And when You do, Then, Lord, I'm asking you to show me what to do to stop that hindrance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, church.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.